Teach in full alignment to the Buddha, the teaching, and the spiritual community. By the merit of listening to the teachings, may I achieve Buddhahood in order to help all living beings. I go for refuge in full alignment to the Buddha, the teaching, and the spiritual community. By the merit of hearing the teachings, may I achieve Buddhahood in order to help all living beings. I go for refuge in full alignment to the Buddha, the teaching, and the spiritual community. By the merit of giving the teachings, may I achieve Buddhahood in order to help all living beings.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm in the right spot here.
Whatever spot you want.
You can move it. Just like a little like that. That helps. So the next verse that we're working on here is the third verse, where it starts, the fluctuation of life is like a bubble of water. It says here, the fluctuation of life in the body is a literal translation. And here, life really means life force, which really means the mind. So it's the mind and body. We think it's very, very stable. What do you say? Stable or solid, I guess in this case, very solid. But in fact, it's just an aggregation of many causes and conditions coming together and constantly changing. And so it's not going to stay long. And so in this context, it says, remember death. Where we perish so quickly, and when remembering death is where we think about death in the context of the three roots and the nine reasons. The first root being that death is certain. Here, it gives us a perspective of or the large perspective that we were talking about yesterday, which is that we're coming from a beginningless, what do you say, continuous sequence of life after life, and then we're going to, you know, and so then our death is a certain thing, and you're thinking of it in that context, and then there's the second one is the uncertainty of the time of death, and so this is putting us in a frame of mind that you know, we can't we don't know what's going to happen, so then we have to make good use of this life. And then finally, it's except for Dharma, our practice of the Dharma, there's nothing, the third root is that, except for the practice of the Dharma, there's nothing that we can take with us. And so that third root is, you know, basically we're coming to understand that the only thing that continues after our death is our mind. And so then it makes a big difference as to what kind of a state our mind is at that point. So then we have to do our best to practice the teachings. And the real message here is not simply coming up with an understanding that we're going to die, and then just forget about it, you know, and just sort of go on to something else. Then the idea is that because we're going to die, and then our life, our mind continues. We could use the word life as they do here. Then we have to make use of this life to do some kind of dharma practice. And then, I used to say religious practice, but it means dharma practice, yeah. Practice of the teacher.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yang jikin shimen rogo re sam gurwa.
Mm-hmm.
Re yusen kare se na, geba chiwa yin de kar sore. Ani, lu le soba ta kar se lu marwa. Chida ngebar yon la, kien gang jen dodo me was. Chiwa de ngebar de yon gure. Di chiwe duzu le su na, shenda kien gang jen doye ke yo ma re sam gurwa.
Mm-hmm.
Ani, chida ngebar yon kien gang jen dodo me wa. Yani, tsala nomba me jen, dribji pa ma shi de jen wa se gurwa. Dina yore.
In this first one, the contemplation that death is certain, we're not really coming up with something that we don't know. It's just that we're using these three reasons to develop some certitude about that death, you know, that death will definitely come. So then in the first reason is the contemplation that the Lord of death will definitely come and therefore cannot be avoided. There's nothing you can do to turn away the Lord of death. Here just means, if you hadn't heard that term before, it means just, it's a way of talking about death. it will definitely come and therefore cannot be avoided. There's nothing we can do to turn aside death. The contemplation that our lifetime cannot be extended and constantly diminishes, that and so there's nothing we can do then to make our life longer. And then the third one is the contemplation of the certainty of death, such that even while you are alive, there is little time for practice of the teaching. That we have this sort of this idea that there is time. I have some time. And in Tibetan, the idea is sort of I have some leisure time to take it easy. But in fact, there's. If you think about the certainty of death, then you realize that there isn't this kind of extra time. Geshe-la was saying, then you come to a certainty based on these using these three reasons. I'm reading from page, this is the Great Treatise, page 143.
Volume 1,
right. The contemplation that the time of death is uncertain is the next root. And the reason is the contemplation that the lifespan in this world is uncertain. There might be other worlds where human life is set, but in this life, in this human life, then it's never certain what the lifespan is going to be. And then the second contemplation is the contemplation that the causes of death are very many and the causes of life few. So then we're constantly under like these conditions where we're going to have to, which bring about our death. And then, and not only that, the conditions that cause us to live, okay, can change into conditions that cause us to die. So there's uncertainty from that perspective. And then the contemplation that the time of death is uncertain because the body is very fragile. If we think about it, our life is just sort of... is a very fragile existence in the sense of that. Well, in Tibetan they talk about zan lung. It means that our life energy the nerves and the all the different. The channels for blood and so forth, all these subtle, there's both the coarse and the subtle. These are all in a very tenuous, you know, condition, and so it's like we can go at any time. So what does that mean in terms of our practice? It means I have to practice right now. That's kind of, you come to a decision, a certain decision based on this root and the three reasons that you have to practice now. The final route is the contemplation that at the time of death, nothing helps except religious practice. And so we contemplate how our body won't be helpful at that time. Our resources, any kind of things that we might have, are not helpful at that time. And friends are not helpful. We have to go alone. And so then the only thing that is helpful at that time is to practice our religious practice of the teaching. So then we come to a decision that time that I will practice the teachings and giving, what do you say, abstaining from any kind of wrongdoing and cultivating any kind of good or virtue.
So then, when
we hear the word death, okay, usually we're going to not like it, okay? It says in the scriptures, you know, just from hearing the word death, people don't like it. But so then... We're not talking about death here, just to frighten everybody. You might think that death and suffering and these kinds and impermanence, thinking about these and talking about these are just the teachings are getting some profit from you to frighten you, something like that, and get something off of you by frightening you. But that's not the reasoning behind this. The reason behind this is actually that it's helpful to think about it now. And if you think about it now, then you use your life wisely and make good choices to avoid any kind of wrongdoing and cultivate virtue. Then by the time your death comes around, you won't be frightened at all. And that would be like the best result. At least then you'd... you know, understand that it's just part of life, right? And you'd have, you know, the best result would be that you are just happy to die because you're confident and you say, oh, this is better. I'll get a now that I've used my life so well, I'll have a human rebirth and I'll have a new life. this is a better deal. That would be the best result, right? But then at least you wouldn't be frightened at that time. So the least is where you're thinking that you know, thinking in the long term, where you're coming from, beginning this rebirth, and then it's a constant process of changing, and you're changing one life to the next, and you don't have any kind of feeling of regret about your life. You just moving on to the next life. Then the middle one is then where you're not afraid, okay? The middle result would be where you're not afraid. And the highest result would be that you're just happy to have that you're going to get a new life in your next lifetime. As a human being, you have confidence like that.
Lusso, you were three churches, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't give me a short term, but answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Show the art hands, you summoned on the water. Chima Pengel, Pengel, Messi, I wish you could do some touch, you are.
Mm-hmm.
That can't you rest it? She is just a little to Messi Connell and the Chishin Jungle, Lassido.
Mm-hmm.
Never damn winning in your best opinion, you are. Touch it on your bond, the present. That button the machine you look at, right?
No.
Oh, dear, you do, Carsa.
Then after that, so we had the second line there, remember death, for we perish so quickly, death will be soon upon us. Then after death, the effects of virtuous and non-virtuous actions pursue us as the shadow follows the body. So there's nothing will continue with us, materially speaking. But as our mind continues, all the karma that we've created in our beginning lives up to now in this lifetime, that will all continue with us, whether it be virtuous karma or non-virtuous karma. So then we have to go on to the next verse that sort of comes with that, with those last two lines, where you're finding certainty in this cause and effect of karma, okay? That you have to be certain about karma coming with us, or our, another way in that sense, I always use the word karma anyway, and karma means action. It also means what is deposited by, what's sort of retained in your mind by the action. So that's why I use the word karma. You can't quite get that by action. And then may I always be careful to do only virtuous deeds and abandon even the slightest non-virtuous action. So you're abstaining. You're doing even the slightest virtuous deed up to the greatest virtuous deed. You're always being very conscientious. What does it say here? May always be careful. Yeah, careful or conscientious or, just be very, whatever those two words were. And then you have to be very careful to abstain from even the slightest non-virtuous action, any the slightest harmful action. You have to be, and at this point we're praying for this. May I be? And you're saying it in front of your visualized field of assembly that we talked about yesterday, and so then you're asking for help to. To always do this.
Muya. Lende se dwa. Lende samu tan se ko le ngebe chu se dwa. Le ngeba chu se le gewa chu ju che na tin drebu te wa ju ngeba ko. Le me gewa che na tin drebu tu nge ju ne de ngeba wa. Tin de ko te wa de tu nge ni bu de le ki de ni ge. Che su dwa ngeba tu samu tan ge wa ra. Le ngebe chu se che.
So then karma has certain qualities, and one of them is that it's this, I guess we call it the certitude of karma. I forget how we translated that. But the certainty of karma, to use that word again, is it there? Certainty. And then maybe you can, Diana, you can find it and tell me if I've got the right words. The certainty of karma. And what that means is that even the slightest non-virtuous action and even the slightest virtuous action will certainly give the effect of, from virtuous, it will be certain to give the effect of happiness. And then non-virtuous will certainly give the effect of suffering or pain or discomfort.
Le gemas chera. Le pelche was do. Le pelche was de chi mo bo ki kyuden je bu le kyu chung chung ten de bu ma bu ke yo ra. Sen de chung chung ji tap she de ko ti ya chi ke she de ten de bu pe tong da ti da ma bu ke ji do. Chung chung ji ne. O de le jan nang ge ke wa da.
Have this other quality, the second one of the magnification, the magnification of karma, means that external cause and effect, like has a great ability of magnification, like if you plant a a small seed, right, you can get a huge tree eventually from just from this little teeny seed. Well, that karma is actually much more than that. Okay, so then, even the smallest action, you can't neglect even the smallest, say, sin or wrongdoing or misdeed that you do. You have to be very careful of that, because even the smallest has a great effect, and even the smallest virtuous action on the other side also has great effects, and for many aeons it has great effects. So then you can't neglect even to, you can't think, oh, that's just a small thing, I won't do that. You have to not think like that. You think, oh, it will give a huge effect, so I will do that. An example of why we say that you have to do even the smallest is that can be found in the practice of bowing down or making obeisance. In general, it's a practice that's a good countermeasure for our pride. But it's said that the merit that you accumulate from bowing down with a feeling of, visualizing the objects of refuge before us, and then bowing down. If we think very, if we think about the effects of that, we might think, well, it's just, it's a small thing. I'm just bowing down with respect. It gives small effects. But actually, it said that equal to the number of atoms below your body, okay, then you will be reborn as a universal monarch. It means that somebody who, or universal ruler who just has dominion over a whole universe. So then that that gives you an idea of what the effects of that kind of bowing down would be. But then if on the other hand, even getting angry or hostile towards someone, it has a slight, just for a moment, will destroy huge amounts of virtue or merit that you've accumulated. So then we have to be very careful to from this perspective to. Be very careful to avoid any kind of non-virtuous karma and to cultivate virtuous karma.
Oh, any teacher and the Kushab Chigora. Dig it in the penny chamber, your mustas, good as she did in the Chevjig, Taz Toto Sato, those two to some night, young Marva. The penny chamber, your dear. Tan is simply a condo savina. Copy a penny and drain the colibe, courage on some. Read it is when you read it is social government to some yora. The courage on some yora. Say some restriction with Chigora. Deacher, you go.
Then, so then, how is it that it can be so helpful to us to bow down, or so beneficial to be bowing down to the Buddha? Well, we're not just bowing down to some statue or before us, something like that. We're bowing down to somebody who has, over the course of many aeons, brought both wisdom and method to perfection. That they've completely accomplished. What do you say? The purpose, or they can fulfill the aims of all beings. Okay, and so we're bowing down to such a person, out of a feeling of respect to such a person that has brought all of that to perfection. And then it also, in terms of when we're, and that's why it's so beneficial. And then when, in terms of why it would be so harmful to just get angry at one, get really hostile towards somebody. Hostility in this case means that you want to harm them, okay? Then at that point, you've sort of made that living being, the recipient of your anger, you've reduced them to some sort of like the size of a seed, and then that's something that's lit, and so then, how that's the reason that it's so harmful. So even when we get angry and hostile, we could even take our own life. Okay, that's in the, So the next two, you don't experience the effects of actions that you did not do, means that virtue and non-virtue don't get mixed, for instance, that you won't, from doing the virtuous action, you will never receive any kind of suffering from that. The effect will always be happiness, and you always receive unhappiness or suffering from as an effect of doing non-virtue. Even the smallest non-virtue. So then our actions will not perish. Okay, as the fourth one, the actions you have done do not perish, means that they will, if you do something virtuous, then unless you destroy that with anger, or the hostility, I think is a better word to use, unless you destroy it with hostility, then it will stay with you until it gives effect. It'll always be with you, and can give continual effects.
Oh yeah, that's it. Lele, nam sa samrata ayde pe geshin bura ngara zule ya, geshin bushara ra. Ti yende ko le miki wachu di samrata. Miki wachu di sab shimbu sa asu na, nyawa ki gire, yidal ki, tendul ki, tungi nyangu gire, samgu ya ra, taasya ura. Kiwe le dozu sa asu na, kon drebu di kawa ina lada mil ki, dewa tenbu jine samma kiwe le ki, drebu yin samche. Ani, tibwe le chini ki paa, kiwe le chini ki tsu,
So then we have to understand that from this, that we always have to be very, you know, karma is a very important thing to always keep in mind, that our actions, we always have to be very conscientious to do even the smallest non-virtue, to avoid, what do you say, abstain from even the smallest non-virtuous deed. Or action, or karma, and even, what do you say, because it will give the effect of suffering for us, and that, and the effect of suffering, we have to think of that the effect will be a rebirth as either in a hell. It depends on the severity of the non-virtue, but in the hell realm, or in a rebirth in a hungry ghost realm, or in a rebirth in an animal realm. And then we have to think even to do even the smallest virtuous action, because of what that effect will be, it will affect a rebirth into a deity's realm, or a human realm. So then... we always have to, like it says in here, always be careful, right? May I always be careful to do even the slightest non-virtuous action, to do only virtuous deeds, and abandon even the slightest non-virtuous action.
Kena jibwa ritungi mangbu nyongu re samruwa. Ti cheche ki gyudi pangu gu re sam, mihiwa chu pangu yu sam. Tile tariya chu di mihiwa pangu kiwa chu chu gati re sha, kiwa chu yabu tunga lada mili kikidu sam che. Yoni, nye sungu tungi lan chiki shi chani. Tile gyobi niwa di, mihi chu pangu chu tili yoba. Ti gyobche ki chu di tiri da su sangye ki sungba. Sungba na shi nye di che. Ti chingi mihiwa chu pangu ki chu chu shen da la mihi tangi.
So it's based on this practice of the cause and effect of being careful about the cause and effect of karma, where you're thinking, oh, you know, I really don't want to be reborn into an unfavorable rebirth as a result of non-virtuous actions, and then I want to do the best I can to be cultivating virtue in order to be reborn into a favorable rebirth. And so then it's in this context then that refuge becomes very important, because the Buddha is the one that teaches the way, right, shows the way of refuge. And the teachings are the actual refuge, and so doing this practice is the actual protection, right? And then The spiritual community are the ones that sort of help us to do that practice. And so then we're thinking, please help me to do just, you know, this practice to reduce my non-virtuous deeds and to do what I can of virtuous deeds.
So if
you have like some kind of a divine creator who's the ruler of the universe, we can think, then you can't have two rulers. It's just one ruler, you know, one creator, one ruler of the universe. But in Buddhism, you have three, objects that protect you, okay? The Buddha is the one who teaches the way of protection or refuge, if you prefer that word. And then he has certain things that he says you should adopt and other things that you should cast aside. And that's the teaching. And so then there's the teaching is the second object of worship that protects, and then the third one is the spiritual community. The spiritual community are those who help you, sort of assist you to carry out those instructions that the Buddha has given. So it's very much like if you're afraid, once you have a terrible illness, then what do you do? A terminal illness, say, that you go to a doctor, and then you listen to they instruct you what medicines to take, what were the causes of this, and how you should take certain remedies for this, and then the actual thing that is curing your illness is the medicine, right? And then the nurses are those are like the spiritual community. They're the ones that help you to. What do you say? Follow the doctor's prescription.
Dwe dunge chagi mesele se ba. Kenzo kange juwa te nge wanga chinda ti mewa su tewa paate tindu shiye mendo song ra. Dwe dunge chagi mesele. Niji tokwa shenla po me tinga. Ay, tu le tokwa yuende sangbo tang, kenpa tang, tsewe yuende kange
So, how does the Buddha protect you? It said that sages don't wash away sin. Don't wash away sin with water. You know, it's that they don't have any power just to sort of somehow. There's a lot, in India there's a lot of belief in the effects of water and to clear away sin. So they emphasize this particular point. And the Buddhas can't clear away the suffering with their hands. They can't lay on their hands of the suffering of living beings with their hands. There's no. If they could, they would do like that, but there's no way of doing like that. And then they can't take their knowledge and their, method and wisdom and somehow, give it over to others. You can't sort of like transfer it just through some kind of process. They just sort of like handing it over is the idea there. But they teach. They teach the way things actually are. They teach how things actually are, and in that way, they help beings get free of their suffering. The Buddha said, "I'm teaching you the way of getting rid of the misery of cyclic existence, the misery of a cyclic existence." So then I'm teaching you the way of how to get rid of that suffering. Now you have to do it. That's what he sort of added that at the end. You have to do it yourself.
Sangele kyapsu chesu de karisi gora jigden cheba bodre chene ta kanga cheran cheshe ro chis ya yu sha yero wa ya so ata kirwa tinde mare si gora sangye da koe dunge da nge so nyawa yi da nge so gi dunge le treya gi thab di karina koe dunge le treya thab di karina di sangele condition sangye karisu do kerang gi sung banai shi o nge di chubi yin se na sangele kyapsu lu yora
A divine creator just sort of says, this is the way it is, and then doesn't show the way and in the how to receive protection in the way that the three jewels do, where it's like the Buddha is instructing, you know, that you do. It's just like when you're relying on a doctor. You're sort of saying, what should I do? Is basically what you're asking, and then the Buddha is responding and saying, this is what you do in order to protect yourself from suffering. So you have to think in whatever the doctor is, when you ask him what is the cure, and then they give you some instruction, then you have to do like the doctor says. That's the idea. And then, so then the teachings are like the doctor's instructions. You have to practice them. And then I have to put these into practice, and I'll be completely free of suffering. And it's just the idea of, like, if I take this medicine, then I'll be cured of my illness, you know. And then
you're asking
the spiritual community to help you to, you know, to do this, and then please help me. And then you're receiving their help, and you're saying, oh, and I'll put into practice just like you are doing, you know, I'll practice it just like you are doing. And so in that way, then you're receiving protection.
Oh, yeah. Dondo nyenge de yena ko ti chigu che do la da mi ko ba tu nge so la me ji wa ti chigu che do mi ki chu ma ge wa chu tu na de yo ra chim ba chu tu se ba la so ba chu na de yo ra de ki ki bu chu ngu ti jang jang sam lo da na ki bu chu ngu tu mu ma yin be la mu ra chi da mi ge wa chu pa ge wa chu tu de la da mi le ke bu de se ya de ki bu ding de chim bu ka nga ge la mu ga ra wa ki bu ding yin na ko nge so la ma ji le mi le ke ne mi ge wa pa chi la ne
This actually brings to a conclusion the practices shared with a person of small capacity, if you see your chart. But the idea is, even though it says their practices for a person of small capacity, is not that they're somehow unimportant for persons of great, medium or great capacity. They're the basic. If it was, you were just going to do exclusively these practices in order to avoid being reborn into the miserable realms and to have a fortunate rebirth as a human or a deity, if you're approaching it in that way, then we wouldn't use this term shared with a person of medium shared with a person of small capacity. But what is being emphasized with that phrase is that these are practices that are used both by the person of medium capacity and a person of great capacity. So then, they're the basis for to avoid an unfavorable rebirth and to have a favorable rebirth as a human or a deity is the basis for a person of medium capacity to achieve their goal of liberation from cyclic existence. They need this sequences of human lifetimes in order to achieve that goal. And so it's the very basis for their practice. And then the same for a person of great capacity to engage in any of his or her practices. They need a human life constantly in order to reach perfection of perfect enlightenment, in order to practice, do their practices of generosity and so forth. They have to have these sequences of human life. So even the highest bodhisattva on the 10th level, which is the highest practitioner of great capacity, then that person is practicing avoiding the 10 non-virtuous deeds cultivating the 10 virtuous deeds.
Oh yeah, then you do karsoda. Maharaj san chhe se du san nam sa be thombo de shere je samlo tan je ne jogon jogwa chi chu du su le tep chi chi re ya samlo tan do. O di tan ye yo mara. Ti ti re ya yo mara na ke ti shida ti yo mara. Karsoda. Ti mege wa chu ba ke wa chu tan de le jum de shere do. O le phel che wa. Le nyeba, le phel shiva, le ma jeba dan betewa, jeba shui mesawa. Kende samlo dan migiwa chubu tamu re re ne paaya kewa chunchun chi na tukwe na chizo na la kora namgyu keje shedu de ka angan juran do shakda. Tene ngone sutim namba, tim namba tabo shedi re yora migi chubu takdwa. Eni yondenshin, ti sunam re saane, eni yondenshin shirab dan tingin zide chi shenda samlo dan gine ko yabu ke to gyo re singa na shi cha gyo ra ti ke chambu che ora nyamle ne chambu re ra ju de de shung ju re sam ya til member is nam sa chi ju du re je chi re sam ta gi ta yo ma re o ti ma ta ne ko le jum de so che jum ju sun jam de so che o di so su me se na me se ko ran du du da me se ko ran ju ran du gyo ra sam ran ju ran du gyo ra che lam du gyo ani so su so su lo o da ki wa chi ma ra de me le ki ya ge de da me du sam sa Kewa tōma mēgā sāpē mēkī wāla shākwa chē, chēndī yāngu chē nā. Oda mēzē yāngu chē kērē yīn sām chē, yāngu chē kērē nā dīdē rā, dē chē dīrē wā. Nē dī chē lē, nē tār wā, tam chē kīmbā yā sām wā, shēndā sū yā kō tāng tū bā chē gu yā rā, bāksā shā gu yā rā.
So, we can't think of this practice of avoiding the 10 non-virtuous deeds and cultivating the 10 virtuous deeds as some small practice. Usually we think of I need to have the most advanced, the highest teaching where I can then perform miracles and so forth. And then this is not so important to do. But actually, if we engaged in thinking about karma, the four different factors of karma, the certainty of karma, the magnification of karma, and that you'll never meet with anything that you haven't done, and that those deeds done will never perish. Then if you think about those in the context of avoiding non-virtuous, even the slightest non-virtuous deed, and cultivating even the slightest virtuous deed, then your mind will change, your whole life will change, actually, in terms of you'll be cultivating what's known as pure ethical discipline, and so then it's not something that isn't basically a very powerful practice in your lifetime that'll transform your own lifetime, and so then based on that you can do whatever of the higher practices for achieving liberation or omniscience, the omniscience of a Buddha. You can practice those to the to the best of your ability, to establish some kind of an inclination for them, you know, some kind of a propensity to practice them again in the future. But keeping a very firm foundation of these practices of the 10 non-virtuous, avoiding the 10 non-virtuous deeds and cultivating the 10 virtuous deeds.
Ani kari ina kiran cheshe ruchis ta kunjo ya kira. Kari ina nga yabu yon cheshe ase. Paa nga ase, sosu kye gyuru tang mugyo che. Tanda nashin kondru cheshe, kekzi cheshe, kekzi cheshe. Ti tena dribu che, ni kora lo keshe, ni kwa cheshe, yusamu, samu tangdo. Ti jene jikne jeba buru ji yo na tindri cheshe ji gira. Ti mato jika ti sanje nangu sanje bichul ti yo mara. Kiran gyuru tongu se, samu gyuru tang, lida nga la gyuru tang. And they are worried, and they are some cherished dogra. And she lets her up, she only some shame beg some with cashed dog. And it dog the shame chip a serpent. And it's a gem mother, she and out to the mother, some do make it regular. So the Tantanishing game when I sit here on the court and they take it and can check it. Cheer your mother. You're another Sanjay Sungu, Sanjay Sundu, and she do mess with the one. I'm not a china.
So then, from a viewpoint of a divine creator, perhaps you can sort of, it seems that a lot of people practice in this way that, you know, I can just sort of keep the way I am and you know, deceive people and harm others. And you, oh, divine creator, please, you know, take care of everything else for me and I'm putting all my trust in you. But if that were possible, then the Buddha would have been straight up with us and told us, "Oh, you can go ahead and practice in this way." But he said that you have to follow my instructions and do exactly what I have said, and that way then we have to to use our life to do whatever we can to practice these, avoiding the 10 non-virtuous deeds and doing the 10 virtuous deeds, and then trying to change our minds from thinking only about ourselves to thinking about others and being oriented only towards others. Then in that way, that's the way. Then we'd be doing what the Buddha has instructed us to do.
Oh yeah, tanga zhi jibun zheng di ri da. Jibun zheng di di xie duwa. Zheng dang tumu lam jirin ba. Jibun zheng dang jibu qinbu. Ni ga ge nyam su lam ye ge lam di xie.